Come on, Norster Kenius.
I always like sexy tire.
Wow, that was definitely geeked out.
My lord! American Marketer! Border charcoal, that bastard!
Beast!
Boom, wink.
The Finnish Conspiracy.
Some guy was going on and on about Corsi this, Corsi that, and
of course he was.
Yeah.
Coffee does make you poop, so.
Brodziak, Brodziak, Brodziak.
Do not vomit me, Kenny! Do not vomit me!
It's a love affair.
And welcome to episode 100 of Three in the Box, your Underground Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Sunday, April 10th, 2016. This is Aaron, and in this episode, we talk about booing, playoffs, and belly aching. In the studio, as always, with me is Kenny.
What up?
And Jive.
Hey, hey.
And tonight, for our 100th episode, we have not one, but two guests. Well, three guests.
Three guests.
Now.
Woo-hoo! We have enough for two boxes.
We've got six in the box, officially.
Or three in two boxes.
That would work, too. In the room with us, we have friend of the show, St. Paul Beer Guru, a.k.a. Tim, a.k.a. Tim Nato.
Hey, everybody. I try to live by one creed. I live my life by one creed. In the event of a bar mitzvah, a quinceañera, or a 100th episode podcast, I'm there.
All right.
Nice.
Woo-hoo! And calling in remotely from BFE, Wisconsin... Founder of stateofhookynews.com.
Still trying to find out where BFE is.
It's somewhere out there.
I thought it was in Iowa.
Maybe it's both.
Yeah.
Derek Felska and Teresa Ferris, how you guys doing?
Well, welcome from the land of alcoholism and cheese, everybody. If you're wondering where BFE is, it is about 16 miles northwest of the Dells. That's where BFE is. You can Google it.
BFE or 60 miles north of the
Dells? Now, is that place, like, can you actually like find it on Google Earth then or something? Or maybe not?
Yeah.
Do the satellites hit that place?
Yeah.
They actually just, they pixelated out just because of all the rampant nudity there.
Well, actually, I think BFE, Derek, I think BFE, Wisconsin is Sandridge.
Oh yeah, the pervert
great,
palace.
Great. Now we're gonna get hate mail from Sandridge residents. Great, thank you, Teresa.
Oh, yeah?
Well,
yeah.
Well, if there it's hate mail from pedophiles, so that'd be fine. Because it's for sexual offenders.
We're never gonna talk hockey tonight, are we?
Oh boy.
Sorry.
No, this is great.
Hockey fans are special.
We are very special.
Very special forces.
All right.
So I think so this doesn't go 2 hours, we ought to start talking hockey here.
2 hours? I don't know. I had to make a promise that this was going to be a 3-hour episode before I left Domino's before I got here.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we better roll on here.
All right.
All right. But let's get into things anyways.
So, what a week for the Wild. Obviously, the actual games they played were terrible. Started off with a 3-0 loss against the Sharks. First time that the Wild have been shut out in the Torch era. Last time they were shut out was the back-to-back shutouts in mid-January. 29 shots on goal, over 3 on the power play. To top it off, they're booed off the ice basically minutes before they were to be in a playoff spot.
About 10 minutes or something?
Right. Torchetti was incensed that people were suggesting that they backed into the playoffs, which is, I know on Twitter, everyone was posting all sorts of, you know, gifs alluding to backing into the playoffs.
Oh, like us?
We weren't the only ones, though.
No.
I'll, for the record.
The gif of falling off the slide into the pool makes a lot more sense right now.
Right. You know, Minnesota sports fans are very familiar with teams backing in the playoffs. We've seen it from the Vikings how many times now? Obviously, they had to win enough games to get there in the first place. But what else could you really call a team who slumped into the end of the regular season here?
The Detroit Red Wings.
Okay.
Yeah.
They backed in.
Yeah, they did.
For the 25th year in a row.
Right.
I mean, we're only at 4.
So we got another 21 years of this, of backing into the playoffs?
Yeah, I think so.
The Wings won something in there, though, didn't they?
A couple of times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, just at least we have that to look forward to then.
I mean, there was kind of a precedent set. I think the Wild set the record for lowest points for a team making the playoffs in the shootout era.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Which isn't very good.
Nope.
I know just about everyone has said it. The only reason the Wild are in is because of how poorly the Avs played. Because the Avs were somehow they were worse than the Wild.
So we should be sending the Avs all of our love now, then, right?
Just to walk. Because Wa loves the Wild.
But should we actually be sending them the love, or, you know, maybe they could have just put us out of our misery now?
Yeah, well.
I'm still going to send him some Tums. He needs it.
Well, I mean, and I know that, you know, the whole getting to the playoffs is, you know, a lot of people are like, well, they're just going to lose in the first round anyway. But, you know, let's be honest. Getting to the playoffs is... That's the best time of year, you know, for a hockey fan.
Half the battle.
Yeah, it is.
And knowing is half the battle.
And the fact that they lost five right before the end of the season here, that really doesn't have an impact on how well they're going to do or how poorly they're going to do, you know, when it comes time to playing the Stars here.
Yeah, I mean, you never know what can happen. That's why they always say it's a new season. It's a cliche, but, I mean, it honestly is. Everybody starts... from ground zero again once you hit the playoffs, and if you can get on a hot run and a hot streak, you know, anything can happen.
Yeah. Well, you know, so the big thing that happened also at the end of the game there was that the booing. And really, is it fair for a team's fans to boo them when they're on the verge of locking up a playoff spot, or is it just the normal fair weather fans we have in Minnesota here? Tim, what are you thinking?
I think they have some merit. I mean, it seems like the Wild have been exceptionally bad at the X this year, at least in the second half. I mean,
oh yeah,
they've been losing way more at home than we're accustomed to. So, you know, I have no problem if the ticket buying public kind of wants to voice their frustration with that.
Or lynch them.
A little bit of both. Derek, what are you thinking?
I would say I agree with Tim 100%. The fans have every right to boo. I mean, unlike I can say for myself personally, I haven't gone to many games this season. But if I'm shelling out, you know, big money for season tickets, and that's the kind of effort they're going to put forth. I mean, I think what they only had maybe two or three wins in 2016 and on home ice,
yeah.
Which is yeah. Depressing. I mean, at what point are they going to actually start to try? And you know, as the old saying goes, it's better to lose. On the road than it is to lose at home, and they didn't seem to have a problem with losing at home at all this year, and I think they had every right to boo, and it may have been kind of strangely timed, but I think it was fitting for the effort that they saw that night.
I mean, maybe the Wild are just the San Jose Sharks of the Central, where they can win on the road but can't for some reason win at home.
Hasn't always been that way.
It hasn't. No, it hasn't. No.
Based on that streak alone, I think the kid that gets to bring the flag to center ice might as well have been waving a white flag right away.
Teresa, do you have any opinions on this?
It's a miracle that our TV survived the past couple of games, actually the past five games. So, yeah, if I had been there, I would have been booing.
And I got to say, yeah, I mean, I think the fans have a right to, you know, basically voice their opinion, and you know, the fans are frustrated at this point right now. I mean, yes, you made it into the playoffs, but from what we are seeing, you know, it doesn't look like a playoff team. So, you know, show us something different. I think that you know, these are big boys, and they need to put on their big boy pants, and you know, they're supposed to be professionals about this, and you know, if they feel that, you know, that's a little bit negative, you know, I mean, try playing in some other environments in some other cities. I've heard people in Philly are probably some of the nicest fans around, right?
Especially to Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Well, if you ask a Philly fan, yeah, they're really nice. But
to each other.
Well, right. And then, you know, the complaints about the press being negative. They could be in Toronto or Montreal and be dealing with a much different press.
Or Edmonton.
Yeah.
Well, are they mean in Canada?
No. No, they are, but they apologize right away.
They apologize.
Well, speaking of Canada, the last game of the season was the Wild versus Calgary Yeah, we get to face Backstrom one last time here.
I almost had that call correct. I got the amount of goals correct.
Right. Wild played better, I felt, than they did in the San Jose game. The first two periods were all right. They at least didn't felt like they looked like they gave a damn. Of course, in the third, it fell apart. Kemper didn't really do himself any favors. He let up two pretty soft goals, I think.
Within 20 seconds of each other, 30 seconds.
Yeah, something like that. As we tweeted out earlier, the Wild are now the third playoff team in the shootout era to have five losses in the last five games of the season. The other two were the Preds last year and the Blues the year before that. And both of those teams lost in the first round to the Blackhawks. Quite a coincidence, I think. I know we've talked a ton about the streakiness of the Torch era Wild, but can the Wild flip this thing around in the first round?
Well, on the plus side, they're going in on a losing streak, which means that they should be coming up on the winning streak, correct?
And every losing streak that has followed a winning streak hasn't been longer than the winning streak. So they've always had, six wins, five losses, four wins, three losses.
So can we look forward to, six wins right now? Like, take four at Dallas and then two in the next round?
Well, even two wins, one loss, two wins, one. I mean, that works, too. I mean, however, whatever way you want to look at it.
Whatever way you want to look at it, they got to, bring their game to the ice. I mean, there was definitely a little bit more fire, I think, at least, we could see it a little bit in the Calgary game. But I think that, they're going to have to definitely step up their play to their competition like they usually do, though.
The only Wild player I saw stepping up in that game was the ex-Wild player, Nicklas Backstrom.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, honestly, I think the X for him was as home as any of the Wild players for that game.
Yeah?
I don't know. I did.
The fans in the stands weren't doing the Backstrom, so you didn't have that like they did the last time we played them, so.
Yeah, it was kind of nice, if nothing else. I mean, I know we kind of laid an egg that last game of the year, but it was kind of nice to see Backstrom maybe have his swan song in the NHL on a positive note.
Right. Derek, what are you thinking?
I guess for me, I thought the Wild's fourth liners looked like they were trying pretty hard as they're probably fighting for spots in the playoffs. But I thought overall that flipping the script is going to be pretty tough because it seems like they still haven't answered a lot of their own internal questions. I mean, who's going to work together, and especially, I hope I'm not foreshadowing anything, but with some of the possible guys that are not maybe going to be there for the first game or so, that really makes for a lot of, they're going to have to figure a lot of things out in the next few days of practice because I don't think they got it figured out the last two or three games. They kind of did some experimenting.
Yep.
So,
okay. And that, I guess that'll kind of lead us actually into our next topic here, and that's been even the bad press that's been surrounding the Wild as is here. I don't know if anybody else has heard this one, but there was an interview with Greg Wasinski. Russo came onto his show, and he talked a little bit about this and about how pretty easy, basically not being used to being criticized like this by the fan base here. I mean, he's always been, welcomed with open arms and always cheered on, but there's definitely been some, I guess, some touchy moments there for Parisi as far as with the press and I mean, really, basically, some of the things that Russo was pointing out was that, kind of around the letting go of Yo and, that kind of being part of the thing with Adam Oates. And I don't know. You just don't know. And you're going to, you're going to get that from players from night to night, but you never know. I mean, any thoughts basically on what like Parisi's negative or, you know, thoughts on the negativity there?
I guess I have a few. I too listened to the podcast with Russo and Yahoo's Puck Daddy Greg Wyshynski, and I thought in some ways Russo kind of vented. You could really hear it kind of in his voice that he was legitimately annoyed with the fact that he got accused of being the source of negativity by Parisi and others, especially when, as Russo pointed out, that night that they clinched, when they lost, of course, to San Jose, and then, of course, they found out, you know, about 10 minutes later that Colorado had lost, and so they're in. Parisi had just been done, you know, was ripping the team, you know, saying we didn't try hard enough, we shouldn't be figuring this out in Game 81. And then suddenly, you know, they find out they're in, and all of a sudden he's like, well, you guys are being so negative. And it's like, what did you just do for the last 5 minutes? You just ripped your team a new one, and now you're blaming us for the negativity? And honestly, you know, it's not Russo's job to just basically kiss butt all the time.
Well, it's not Russo's job to take a side. It's his job to report the news.
But at the same point, his access is tied to really how well he covers a team. And I know I've seen it written before where, you know, the beat guys are a little worried about being critical of a team and worried about, you know, a team having kind of a backlash on that access.
Right. Losing access to their information sources, basically.
I mean, communists leading the KHL here or what?
Well, it did happen once. The Islanders took a guy named Chris Botta who wrote a few pieces that were critical of the team, and they basically, he showed up to work one day and they're like, you're no longer allowed in this building anymore. And he was basically like a beat writer. And so I think that was kind of a shot across the bow that the NHL and NHL teams are going to be allowed to basically pick and choose who quote unquote tells their story. And if you don't tell it close enough, maybe they will decide to cut you off. I know amongst bloggers, especially those that have been lucky enough to get press credentials from time to time, that's been a, you know, worry that, you know, you can't be too critical, or that when you do, basically they pull the plug on you pretty quick. And I can understand it from that level, but at the same time, he's got to be honest. Otherwise, I mean, the readers are going to tune him out too. And I think he has been pretty honest and pretty fair with them. And even though it may irk players like Parisi, and, you know, like Teresa had said before, you know, the pressure that we put here in Minnesota on our sports teams is minor in comparison to people that live in big markets or in Canada for hockey teams. I mean, they have, like, paparazzi following people around. We have nothing like that here. I mean, they can live their lives normally, and I think criticism is only natural for how bad they've been playing.
Exactly.
That's probably why it's a story, you know. It's the first time that they're kind of being questioned. Golden boys like Parisi and Suter, it's the first time in their probably careers that they're being second-guessed a little bit, you know. They're always the hardest workers in the room. Like, I don't know if they've ever had to deal with this criticism before.
Well, and I do think there's another angle, you know, when we talk, you know, beyond Parisi, you know, Suter, and I know we've talked about this before, is Suter's got history with Leopold, so he probably has an added thing where he's really not expected to be judged like this, because he knows his owner has his back in a sense.
I mean, the most press I see from Suter is for Quick Trip.
Want to go to lunch with me?
Seriously, I mean,
we can talk.
I thought
about
it was an
stuff.
Air conditioner or something. What's the air conditioner one?
That's Spurgeon.
That's thing. Yeah.
Oh, that's Spurgeon.
It was Suter last year.
Oh, that's
when he took over Clutterbuck's spot, and it was like Suter never lays out a check like that ever. So no one's buying.
Suter doesn't skate that fast either.
It was a gliding check.
It was a gliding check. Nice.
So speaking of people like Suter, has some of the inconsistency from like Parisi and Dubnyk and, you know, other players, highly paid players like Suter, you know, has that kind of been just the ultimate undoing of this team this year?
Well, let's look at line changes. I mean, can you see a slower possible line change if Koivu or Suter are on the ice? And without fail, it generally causes a problem, whether it's an odd man rush or a goal. Because, hey, you know, I've got a minute to get to the bench. Or it causes a too many men penalty because somebody hops off the bench because Koivu can't get his butt in gear.
As long as they get off the ice, though, so it doesn't count against their plus minus, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Derek, was that you earlier that had said something about on Twitter, Koivu two-thirds of a game and fans paying two-thirds of a ticket price?
Yeah, well, he had stated after the last game yesterday that he felt that they put in a really good effort the first two periods, and then after that they kind of let up, and he said, well, that's just the reality of knowing that we're in the playoffs. So basically saying that it's okay that we let, you know, we took our foot off the gas because we're ready for the playoffs and seem to be, you know, not really too apologetic about it. And so my question was, can you really call yourself a professional if you're only going to work hard two-thirds of the time?
And to get what? 12 minutes of a game and it's over?
Yeah, pretty much. And I really do believe that the veterans, especially the highly paid vets, that core of, you know, the people that are, I don't know if you want to call them cornerstones, but really they feel like cornerstones because you can't move them. You got, you know, Koivu, Parisi, Suter, Pominville, and Vanek, and Dubnyk, all those guys with no move clauses. I think there's a level of complacency that has come through time and time again. It happened especially when, you know, they basically gave up, and then the team was forced to can Yo, and then suddenly it got a little better. But since then, you know, their efforts kind of wavered on and off, and they seem to kind of play when they feel like it, and that's what I think was starting to come to the forefront with some of the criticism from Russo and others.
So you're saying we've got a team of Randy Mosses in here, play when they want to play.
Well,
yeah, and with no threat of being, and with little threat of being benched because the team is, you know, forked over all of that salary. I mean, they know they can't be moved, so they're in a position of, you know, power. Well, you know, they try to call the shots.
Derek, from what you just said, I mean, it sounds very similar to what Russo was saying with Wojnarowski about, you know, the Wild will only play good when they're backed into a corner.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say, really, the players that we've got right now, it's kind of like having built a bomb shelter in a house in the 50s. It's like you put a ton of money into it, but, you know, once the Cold War is done, you've got all this money sunk into the ground, and you're not going to really, you can say, hey, there's a bomb shelter here, but you're not going to be able to move that thing because who wants that?
Well, 70 years later, hipsters are turning it into places to live.
Yep.
They built it in 1988, and then...
These guys could get away with it, you know, if they were, you know, if this was the Hawks or something, like, they can flip the switch when they need to, you know, they can coast when they want.
Very.
They can win when they need to, but they don't have the pedigree to, you know, they don't have the playoff pedigree to just turn it off and turn it on at will.
And the kids haven't developed, you know, all these kids that, you know, because really this team has been pretty much unchanged for the last 3 years. And the kids that we hoped would turn into something haven't really developed. They've plateaued at best. You know, Granlund has streaks where it's like, what is he doing? You know, Hall overseen a little bit of a glimpse, but after he was spent, you know, years now in Yo's doghouse, Zucker is all over the place.
Hall should be up at one of those top-level players right now, but he spent too much time, like you said, Aaron, in Yo's doghouse.
But, you know, it's like Zucker, Nino. I mean, we had so many kids that aren't really developing. Brodin, he's been good defensively, but he's zero offensively. He's got nothing there. And I wonder where this team is
going to
go.
We could go back and listen to some of our old podcasts going, yeah, this kid's going to turn into something. And now we're going, what the hell just happened?
Do you think some of the, though, I mean, I'll ask all of you guys this, is don't you think that there's really seems to be two cultures in this room? You have this veteran culture that's like, hey, we're the stars of the show, we're going to do what we want to do, and then there's the young guys kind of doing their thing, and they have to kind of fit their way around you know, the egos and the beliefs of the veterans. You know, I don't think that those two groups seem to get along, or they don't seem to be working together a lot of times. It's like, it's almost like they're competing against one another. So if the young guy scores, the veterans kind of look at it and go like, yeah, shut up, kid, just get on the bench. And where when the old guys score, like, say, see, young kids, this is how it's done. And so it's kind of like, it's kind of like a vicious competition, not like we're in this together. It's like they're pulling two different ropes. I don't know. Do you get that impression?
I personally think I don't know that that's any different than a lot of teams where, you know, there's an age gap there. You know, if you're 32, how much do you want to hang around with, you know, Dumba going out to clubs? So you're not going to really have that.
You get the guys with the kids and the families, and you got the young guys that are single that want to go out.
Right. So you're going to have a little bit of that because you're not going to have that social interaction outside the rink.
So it's not like Slapshot where they all get to go out at night and, you know, party it up and have beers together.
No, I don't think so. But, you know.
Hit him. He'll piss himself.
but I do think, you know, it could be a case where the elder statesman, if we're going to call them that, there's a certain level of entitlement. But the thing is I don't know what they're really doing with it because it doesn't seem like these older guys are working within the systems that are laid out for them.
Well, wasn't this what Torch wanted to break down when he first got in, saying that there was this divide between the older veteran players and the younger, the up-and-coming players, and that he wanted to break that wall?
It seemed like he wanted to, but, you know, that's easier said than done. I mean, I think initially he was kind of watching how they all react as a whole, and initially people, you know, we had those first four wins right away and everyone was happy. But then after that, then they kind of went back to doing what they were doing before.
Yeah.
And that's why we have the streakiness.
And this kind of brings it back into what Russo was saying, is that this is, you know, basically how the team is. It's on the players right now. And so, I mean, are the inmates, are they running the asylum here? Is it the players actually running the
team? I don't know who's running this system right now.
We're not sure who's there?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head, Derek. I mean, like you all have said, I mean, I think Russo did his best beat writer, keep good connections, but he tap danced around it. But he said there was definitely a divide in the locker room, you know, and I think the team is somewhat fundamentally flawed in its composure, but... we'll see how it bears out.
You know what we need? Uh-huh. We need a...
Humanga's big.
Somebody who's just so out there that nobody can, like, just ignore them, and everybody's just like, all right, let's just go out and play.
Is that really what we need, though? I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah, I think we do.
Well, a friend hasn't worked. I mean, they had a friend in Yo, and that didn't work. And now, it's like, with Torch, it's also we have the big brother, and... I don't know. Maybe we just see the tyrant now.
It seems like none of the veteran players respect their coaches.
That almost seems like almost a league-wide issue.
You probably can make that argument for a lot of teams that are losing. I mean, let's be honest.
Is this a problem with millennials coming into the league?
Oh, wow. the millennial work ethic?
Work ethic? Did you say work ethic? Yeah.
The coach didn't like my Instagram photo.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
So that's what we're dealing with here, is a bunch of millennial hockey players that can't deal with the Gen Xers.
Everybody's got to win.
That explains Granlund to a T.
We got
that,
it all now.
We got them figured out now.
They're not going to hand me the goal, but isn't everybody a winner? Don't we all get trophies?
Right.
I was on a postage stamp.
So that brings it back. There was also an article out today, or not today, it was earlier this week, actually, that Adam Oates had actually posted up on the Players Tribune. And in that article, I mean, he kind of, you know, made mention to things like Parisian Suter and how it's, you know, impossible to not read between the lines, you know, where that skill, the skilled players need, you know, room to be skilled players. He made several references back to, you know,
him and Hall.
And Hall and
Backstrom and Ovi. Yeah.
Well, and even back to his, you know, the his videos youth, that he was
the Gretzky,
viewing the
4 hours the, of Gretzky, the Gretzky on videos. Beta.
Right. And, you know, watching you it, figuring out how is? He did that. the millennials do not know what beta is. But, you know, basically, you know, so Adam Oates' argument basically was that, you know, coaches these days are kind of, you know, shoehorning people or the players into these systems and trying to, you know, mold them into their systems instead of letting them, you know, use the skill that they've been drafted for and brought into the league for, you know, and making use of that and being free to kind of, you know, I almost make it artistic, you know, be able to express, you know, yourself in your skills.
And he makes an example of Patrick Kane and yes. how he can just, they don't need a system for Patrick Kane. Patrick Kane makes a system,
right,
is really what it is. And it's frankly, I mean, we see Patrick Kane play enough. It's, you know, aside from him raping people, it's hard to disagree with.
Did you see that?
They can't do that! Last
night? I guess they both kind of work.
But, you know, he's obviously a skilled hockey player. And, you know, he doesn't need to do, you know, a lot of things that other players may need to do to up their game. He's talented enough as a mm-hmm. hockey player.
No, and I agree. I mean, you look at stuff like that, and it's kind of hard to disagree with Oates here. I mean, really, when you take a look at it, if you're trying to, you know, shape and mold these people, I mean, these are people who've been playing for years and years by the time they've gotten to, you know, the professional level. They've got their game that they play. And, you know, if you're trying to shape and mold them into something, you know, completely different, that's almost, you know, kind of, it, to me, I'd say it's kind of on the coach there.
All right.
You know, bring the players in, but you need to, you know, formulate it so that it all works together cohesively. But that doesn't necessarily mean that everybody has to be part of your exact system. You need to just, you know, find a way to put the pieces together so it works.
So Jive, going back to your previous question, I think you just answered it. The inmates are running the asylum.
They are.
No, they're not.
They're not.
Because otherwise they would be doing...
Jive, what asylum are you in?
What asylum are you in?
What asylum should you be in?
I should Soul be in asylum. An asylum.
Oh, Soul asylum?
They're Minnesotan, too.
They are.
Watch Players Tribune tomorrow. I'm pretty sure there'll be a strongly worded rebuttal from Bruno on, you know, Power Play 101.
We'll get his take.
AKA, I deserve a job.
Interestingly enough, I coming home, seven. I was out and running errands today, and Oates was going to be on Sirius Radio with Todd Lewis on Hockey Unfiltered. And we listened to that interview, and that was kind of a, well, I'm not going to be a head coach. That's not for me anymore. I'm going to be a teacher. I'm going to work with individual players. So Oates is not going away. We're going to have more of this drama.
So what is he, like a hockey philanthropist or something?
Wait. Is this so those who can't do coach, those who can't coach teach, those who can't teach get on the radio?
Well, you know, kind of as an aside.
Is that why we're here?
Yes, damn right.
You see these kinds of arguments in any profession. And Derek can tell you this point blank. Oh, teachers don't know what they're doing. You know, they should get out of the classroom and let kids be whatever they want to be. Little, you know, their little special flowers or whatever they are.
Don't forget about safe space.
Yeah. And instead, kids come out of school with no structure, no work ethic, as we get back to that again, and can't function in a normal world of real life and employment.
So are you telling me that's why I'm where I'm at today?
Were you not nurtured?
I probably wasn't.
Probably he doesn't remember.
Where's the love?
You're a special little flower giant.
Wow. Well, as Teresa tried to submarine my teaching career. anyways.
That was your career, Derek.
I know. It's over. Apparently I just have a field full of weeds, not flowers.
You have weed? You'll be the most popular teacher.
In Colorado.
I'm growing everything now. Anyways, I guess from as a high school coach, I understand talking about, you know, finding, you know, like the idea of shoehorning players into various, you know, roles or whatnot. But a good coach understands what talents and skills his players have, and then they place those players in usually in positions where they can help the team the most, or they can bring, or they can have the most success. And I don't necessarily think playing a system is crushing their creativity necessarily, because I think one of the things that players often forget about, and especially I think Adam Oates has forgotten about, is that a coach has to be able to understand what is going on, and if a player is just simply freelancing all the time, then he pretty much has, you know, you've thrown the bathwater with the baby or whatever. I can't remember whatever that analogy is, but whatever. Anyway,
bath salts with the baby.
That's no, right, that's a zombie thing.
But I mean, you've pretty much don't know. You've lost control at that point. You know, if I have a talented linebacker, and he just blitzes whenever he feels like it, I lose basically control at that point. If he just blitzes on his own, I don't know what's going on. So when things fall apart, I can't understand because he's doing something that I didn't tell him to do. And whether that sounds like it's, you know, need for micromanagement or controlling, you know, I think from a coaching perspective, that's not really practical, because at some point, like we see in every team does, you know, once they get a lead, oftentimes they then play a system to defend that lead. They sit back in a 1-2-2 trap and basically trap it up. That's a system. That's not creativity, but every team does it because it's very effective at preventing goals. And I think that, you know, even with the Wild, you know, I always felt like, you know, while Mike Yeo wanted to play an up-tempo style, I kind of always felt that the players, you know, depending on what players are on the ice, they kind of did what was natural to them. So when Koivu was out there, his lines are always going to be cycling lines. They are slow it down, cycle the puck down low, and work something out front. And they did that regardless of who the coach was. So to me, are they really, you know, the players seem to be doing what they wanted to do anyway. So have they been stymied or you know, pigeonholed? I don't see it, but, you know, whatever. I guess Oates wants to sell himself, and that's what he's doing.
Well, you know, but to your point, though, the vets seem to be able to do whatever they want without fear of being benched. You know,
yeah, exactly.
If yep. Zucker does that, you know, he's on the first train to press box there. But I think another point is that, you know, how much of this is also maybe Oates setting himself up for trying to get a job? He might say he doesn't want a job, but you look at his record with Washington, even though I don't know that he really gelled with players, he had a pretty damn good record with Washington in the year and change he was there.
Mm-hmm. He'll be coaching the Wild next year.
Well?
It's weird. He seems to be taking pains to, like, he wants to segment himself as, like, just a specific, like, you know, you mentioned, like, how NFL is offensive line coaches.
Oh, yeah, the yeah, different and, specialties.
Yeah, 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 he wants to be, like, a specialty coach. I don't, you know, he kind of... Washington did well, but I think it was a good squad. I think he kind of flamed out as a coach. I don't think he wants to be a head coach. I think he wants to be like a power specialty play. Coach? Yeah, yeah, specialty coach.
A guru.
And, I mean, he's obviously running the circuit. He's doing interviews. He's posting articles. He's doing radio shows. He's really putting himself out there.
That's true.
Well, I mean, he doesn't have the pressure of wins and losses then.
No, you know, he doesn't.
He just flies in and says, well, no, guys, you should work on the power play this way, and then he'd mess around with that. He's not even on the team, so he doesn't even care. As long as those guys are happy with what he had to say, then, you know, he stays employed.
So he takes credits for the good stuff, doesn't have to worry about the bad stuff, and, you know, lives his life happily.
It's not a bad gig.
No. So, hey, so we've been talking about, you know, stuff that happened in the past. Let's maybe talk about some stuff that's coming up in the future. Or
here
new future. So, playoffs. The Wild first game is on Thursday.
I had to.
The first game is Thursday. Vanek is likely to miss the first game. Prezi currently is, you know, he's on day three of day-to-day. Not talking about his injury, even to his teammates. And, you know, looking at the Wild right now, Hollow's out currently. Maybe we'll be back come playoff time. You know, we got, we got Burnside. He predicts the Stars in five. But let's talk about...
Let's talk about the Wild and the Stars, and then we'll kind of blow through the rest of the matchups.
Do we want to blow through the let's blow through the other ones first real quick, and then we can discuss.
Okay.
I'm sure we're going to have more to talk about that. So let's start off at the bottom. Tampa Bay and Detroit. Detroit, again, you know, like the Wild, backed into the playoffs. Let's just go around the horn real quick with numbers.
I'm not even going to do numbers. I'm just going to pick the winner.
Pick the winner?
Yeah.
Pick the winner.
I'm going to go Tampa Bay wins.
Tampa Bay. Teresa.
I'm going to go Detroit. They don't have Stamkos in Tampa Bay.
All right. Derek.
I'm going with Detroit, too. They not only did not have Stamkos, they probably won't have Tyler Johnson. They don't have Anton Stralman. There's a lot of injuries there. I think Detroit lucked out big time getting Tampa.
All right. Tim.
I'm going to go with Tampa. I think they'll have just enough to get it done.
Jeff?
I might have to agree with the Timnado here. I'm going to think that Tampa will still prevail here. You know, similar to the Wild, the Red Wings were kind of spiraling into the playoffs. So,
and yeah, I'm going to have to agree with Tampa Bay. I don't think Detroit has what they had previously.
Although Datsyuk might want to go balls out because it's going to be his last playoffs.
That works well for Wah.
Or he might want to walk again. After he retires here.
So. There is that. Another game that was just decided today, Florida and the Islanders. Let's start with Tim.
You know what? I think Florida was a nice story this year, but I think the Islanders is a team that's kind of built for the playoffs. I think they might get it done.
Aaron?
I'm going to go with the South Florida team.
Derek?
I'm going with Florida. No Halak in the Islanders spells doom, and Florida defends very well. And I think they're built for playoff hockey, close games all year.
Teresa,
mine's more of a sentimental pick. I'm going to go with the Islanders. One of my first games is a Wild at Islanders, so I'm just going to go with the Islanders.
You want to see Clutterbuck get a ring here?
Not necessarily a ring, but
just make it past the first round.
Yeah.
All right, Jive.
Yeah. I'm actually going to have to go with Florida here. I mean, I guess, you know, from what I've seen out of these teams this year, especially like as they play the Wild, similar to what Derek was speaking on, you know, Florida, I mean, they're definitely, I think, a force to be reckoned with. And they're in the tight checking games and the close games, they do seem to prevail.
And I'm going to go with the Islanders just because with my next pick, I would like to see a New York-New York matchup, which is going to be Pittsburgh and the Rangers, and I'm going to take the Rangers on it. And let's start off
with... Is that because of your love for Frank Sinatra?
New York-New York? Yes, yeah. Maybe.
Okay. Maybe that's it.
And the Gremlins. So, Josh...
The Cars or the movie?
The movie.
The movie, okay.
The Cars are great when you ram into the back of them.
Speaking of that, it's getting late here. We better hurry up so we make sure we get this done before midnight. You want me to pick?
Pittsburgh and New York Rangers.
I'm going to go ahead and for
Mr.
Kenny
midnight.
For Kenny's sake, so he can have his New York, New York-gasm, I'll pick the New York Rangers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron.
I'm going to go with the Penguins.
I hate Pittsburgh. Derek.
I'm going with the Rangers. I don't really like them, but they have a tremendous amount of playoff experience, and I think they'll take advantage of Pittsburgh's young defensive core.
Tim.
I'm going to go with Pittsburgh. They were the hottest team to close the year, and they did it without Malkin, and I think they'll find a way to beat the Rangers.
Teresa.
Gimme.
I'm going to go with the Rangers. I hate Pittsburgh. That's my only
same
reason.
Here, and I agree with you 100%.
I hate New York too, but
I hate Pittsburgh
the Rangers
more
over Pittsburgh.
All right, the President's Trophy winner, the Washington Capitals versus the Philadelphia Flyers. Philly barely got in, didn't they?
Is that legal that Washington can be the President's?
Well,
we got a politics joke. I like that.
Hey, collusion.
Just saying.
Maryland and Virginia will have a problem with them getting the President's Trophy.
They don't actually play in D.C., do they?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Probably not.
I don't think there's. Are there any sports stadiums actually in D.C.?
Land in D.C. is expensive, so.
Yeah. So, okay. Washington, Philadelphia, Aaron.
This is the easy one, Washington.
Derek?
The Capitals are way too powerful for the Flyers.
Teresa?
I'll go with Washington. Yeah, at the same time, they have a habit sometimes of choking in the playoffs, so it wouldn't be terribly shocking if Philly beat them either.
This is true, but they usually don't choke right away in the first round. Jive.
That's
what
she said.
Jive.
I think this is probably going to go around the horn, but I'm going to have to say Washington. I mean, they've proven themselves well this year. I definitely see them as a team that's going all the way.
Tim.
As the Simpsons said, the Caps are my shoe-in of the week.
And I gotta agree. I think Ovechkin's still allergic to the cup. One way or another, but I don't see them getting beat by Philly, so I'm going with Washington. All right, game that was decided tonight, LA Kings versus San Jose Sharks. Let's start with Tim.
Give me San Jose, just sentimental. You know, like they used to be a team that everyone would pick every year, and, you know, the gloss has come off them a little bit, but I think they might have a run in them this year.
Aaron.
You know, I think this is going to be a close one, but the Sharks are, like I've said, you know, they're really great on the road. And, you know, I'd like to see Bernsey go get a nice deep playoff run here.
I like that with Bernsey.
Yeah. So.
Jive.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with these guys. I like the Sharks.
Everybody!
Wow. But
see
yeah.
What happens when we don't have a sample?
Yeah. All right. I'm going with the Sharks. Thanks.
Teresa.
I think I'll go with the Sharks, like you guys have said, just for the song alone.
For the song alone.
And the Casio keyboard. I'm gonna miss the Casio keyboard.
Derek.
I'm actually going to go with the Kings. I guess one thing, nope. they've been playing better, and even though I would love to see all the nice San Jose beards in the playoffs, I think they might be haunted by the last time they had that 3-0 series lead and choked it away to the Kings.
I don't see either of them making it to the Cup, so I really don't care which one, but I would rather see Burns beat Gavrik than Gavrik beat Burns, so I'm going with the Sharks.
Do you think, what's the name of the hockey video for the state hockey tournament?
The hockey hair?
The hockey hair, yeah.
So,
you know, do you think maybe we could coax that guy into doing, like, the beard hairs of the, you know, kind of like a flip side, you know, not the hockey hair, the
look,
mullets,
look at that chin flow.
Yeah, the chin flow. Exactly. Would that not be awesome? I mean,
that'd be great.
All of us four dudes sitting here in this room right now, we got some pretty good beard flow going on, right?
We do.
Look at that.
Derek, you got to step up your game.
start growing it up.
You'll be waiting like 10 months for me to even get like some peach fuzz.
Hey, there's a hair!
I'm gonna...
well, you can always go... You can always
out on this one.
Are you sure, Teresa?
I'm sure. I'm quite sure.
Have you seen what was it, the last season of American Horror Story? You know, the bearded lady, she's got... I think it was played by Kathy Bates. You know, there's a good, you know, there might be some good money in that. maybe. No. Okay.
It's not Apple money.
Not Apple money. That's right.
So our only Central versus Pacific game, Anaheim and Nashville. Are the Purds going to do it, Tim?
Give me the Ducks. They seem to be a team to be reckoned with.
Jive.
Yeah, I'm thinking that the Ducks look pretty solid. Nashville has been, you know, on and off again, so I'm going to go ahead and go with Anaheim on that one.
Derek?
Ducks all the way there. It's pretty amazing turnaround from where they were. I remember when we played them early in the season and we all thought that was going to be Bruce Boudreau's last game, and now they're the top of the Pacific Division. Unbelievable.
He's got a thing with doing that thing with teams. I mean, it's kind of crazy. Teresa.
Yeah, and since we jump-started their season, it'll be Anaheim.
Aaron?
I don't want to pick the Ducks, but I don't trust Nashville to do anything, so I got to go with the Ducks.
I think we're going to have a unanimous quack, quack,
sweet.
Quack, 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 quack. I think that was six quacks.
It's our own flying V.
It's our own flying V. All right.
Knuckle puck.
Two teams that we faced last year in the playoffs, Chicago and St. Louis. Let's start with Teresa on this one.
Well, I'll put it this way. If Chicago wins, that means we'll somehow get past Dallas just because, because we have to face the Blackhawks in the second round. But if St. Louis wins, we're out in four.
All right. Derek, what do you think?
I'm going to say the Blues. I think this is a matchup where Chicago's their second. I kind of talked about Chicago before, but their bottom three defensemen are pretty suspect, and I think the Blues are going to take advantage of that. I think that'll be their Achilles heel.
Tim?
I like this year's St. Louis team, but I can't pick against the Second City. They have that pedigree.
Yeah, they kind of do, don't they? Aaron, what do you think?
I have to agree. I don't trust the Hitchcock Blues to go anywhere in the playoffs. And Chicago, even if they're missing donkey teeth for game one, I think they'll figure out a way to win like they always do.
Jive.
Yeah, and... Wow. I really don't want to pick Chicago, but I think that, you know, Chicago in the end is going to pull that one out. I mean, St. Louis, they bring a good game, but I think that Chicago, just time and time again, they find ways to get it done, and I don't think that we'll see anything any different from here.
Yeah, and I'm agreeing with Chicago. I don't see much happening. Maybe this will be a good time to point out that we will have our bracket up.
Yes, we will.
Ooh. It'll be we'll shoot some Twitter stuff to it. It'll be on our homepage at 3inthebox.com. Feel free to join in on the bracket challenge with us, because I mean we'd love to see how everybody kind of sits and you know match up against us and see our incredibly low hockey knowledge go to waste.
Let's be honest, we'll probably lose.
Yeah, more than likely.
I'll send beer to the winner.
Just pride. You beat 3 in the box. I had a game that they suck at.
Wow.
Yeah, you know,
confidence.
We're our own worst critic.
Speak for yourself.
So, what about the big one?
So, the big one that I think we're all going to have a lot of stuff to talk about that I wanted to say for last. We have a Minnesota versus former Minnesota matchup for the very first time. The Stars will be back in Minnesota for the first time in playoff series since 91. So we have, you know, the Minnesota Wild versus Dallas Stars. There's been a lot of things said about this. A couple of good articles, you know, some stuff. You know, let's, Aaron, what do you think?
You know, I'm not optimistic. I think Torch's string of following up losses with wins is going to be ending. I just don't like this matchup. Dallas has just smoked us. We've had a lot of close games.
Smoked is kind of overrated. I mean, there was a lot of close games, but the Wild did give up some. The close games, the Wild had the lead.
They did. I think it's going to be Dallas in six.
Going Dallas in six?
Yep.
Jive.
Yeah, for me, I really think that, you know, Minnesota, I think that they can turn it on here. That said, I don't think it's going to be enough to overtake Dallas. I mean, the Dallas team is honestly stacked. I mean, they got half of the Blackhawks that, you know,
that beat killed us
last year. And, you know,
two goaltenders.
Last few years. Yeah. And, I mean, even when you talk about their goaltending, I think that, you know, it's not exceptional. I think the Wild might actually be able to put up some offense, but at the end of the day, there's just too much firepower there from Dallas, and I don't think that the Wild can withstand that. So I'm gonna go with Dallas. I'm gonna go with Dallas, and I gotta agree with you, Aaron. Probably about six games.
So I think we're gonna change this up. We're gonna do the three in the box, and we'll ask our guestesses what they think. I think it's gonna be Dallas. I think it's going to be some close games. A couple of the games that the Wild lost in were the 3-on-3, which we saw that they had an absolutely horrible record with this year. So I think going into it, I think we'd have a better shot with 5-on-5. We are looking at some injury right now, possible Parisi, you know, Vanek, you know, say what you will, but he's got some veteran status going into the playoffs. But yeah, I think it's going to be tight. But I think it's going to be a 5-series game with Dallas getting it. I think we'll see Wild winning maybe one at home, and that's about it. So let's go to Colin, Mr. Derek Felska. Who do you think?
I guess this is a spoiler thing for my preview article that I'm going to probably publish as soon as we get the schedule out. I have Dallas in four.
Ooh, you're going for a sweep, huh?
I think we're going to get curb stomped. And
curb stomped. I hate that scene, dude. That just looks so painful.
Yeah.
I just think that the injuries and the lack of chemistry that we've shown. I mean, I think we've shown
if you were curb
really
stomped.
Kind of a. Yeah, that's we're the unwitting person walking down the street, and it's going to get ugly fast.
Okay.
Sorry.
Tim, what do you think?
Just to change in the narrative and to make sure I don't go home and cut myself, you know, because I have in the past, I'll predict the Wild in seven. Just hopeful fan here, you know.
Yeah.
The Wild, you know.
Just saying that.
They have a little more, actually, playoff pedigree than Dallas, and I really hope the tight checking nature of the playoffs maybe kind of limit Dallas's high flying nature, and we'll see. It's just hopeful though.
Well, and the goalies for Dallas are suspect.
Yeah,
they
had kind of a platoon, didn't they?
Yeah.
They almost had a platoon. Like, who are they going to go with in game?
Leighton,
both won 25 games. I mean, it's right down the middle.
Yeah, I mean, and if one of them starts failing early. Yeah. How quick is Lindy Ruff's hook going to be, you know?
It was like the Blues last year, Elliot and Allen.
Right.
Leighton and... See, we can do that.
You just got to you gotta light them up for one game and then make them doubt themselves a little bit.
Right.
Teresa, what are you thinking?
Well, like I say, it kind of gets back. If it's a quick series between Chicago and St. Louis and Chicago wins, it could be a Minnesota in seven just because the hockey gods hate us and want us to be miserable. They have John Klingberg. I mean, he's the newest Wild killer. He's bound to score numerous times.
That's a good point.
And
they got the old Wild score down there, too, don't they?
Hossa's still in there.
Not Hossa. It was
Patrick Sharp.
Sharp's down there.
Oduya.
No. The other one.
Ben?
No. For the Hawks. The one that we hated, who got assigned to the minors when we played him last time.
They don't have Bickle?
Bickle.
No, Bickle's in, I think, the St. Louis Blues system.
Oh.
I could be wrong.
Bickle's still with the Hawks. I think he got
He's with the Ice Hogs right now.
It's gonna be ugly. It's gonna be long. I could see it be a very long, long series. So plenty of time for Norm Green sucks signs.
That's what she said.
So how many games?
Well, I could see it being a 7-game series, and
who wins?
Teresa, we're gonna take this thing.
I said it depends on what Chicago does.
So
if Chicago wins, we win. If St. Louis wins, we're out.
So we got one Wild out of six of us. We have Tim Nato saying Wild are gonna win. We got Teresa going, well, it depends on what Chicago and St. Louis does. Because if it's Chicago, you know, they just need to hold on to their punishment much longer.
She already said that St. Louis is going to win, so...
So then it's, you're looking at Dallas.
Yes. All right. Like I say, it depends on which one.
You got to commit. Got to commit.
No!
Hey, but enough with the negativity. We're all rooting for the Wild here, right?
Woo-hoo!
Yes, we need our Zambuca. All right. So I think that's playoff hockey.
Playoff hockey.
That's playoff hockey?
That is playoff hockey.
That wasn't nearly physical enough for playoff hockey.
I could flip the table over.
Yes. We're about to get wild here.
Hey, watch out for Antoine Roussel and Vernon Fiddler. They're going to be Wild enemies number one and two.
Fiddler, the kitty diddler. I don't know if that's true or not, but...
You should be at Sand Ridge.
At least you know Kane's, you know, an alleged rapist.
Just saying. I don't know where to go from that.
I get a lawyer calling tomorrow.
Oh, boy. How about we do some on Twitter talk? First question comes from Joseph Osmondson, and that's @fathead_Oz on Twitter. When is the coaching staff going to recognize Suter's lack of effort and poor play at times, or is he untouchable? What are you thinking, Jive?
Is he untouchable? I think that at this point, I don't know about untouchable, but I think that maybe they might be second guessing, you know, whether they'd want to keep something like that around. Obviously, there's not many options with that. You'd have to get buy-in from the player as well to make any sort of a move.
But not gonna happen. But
yeah.
Tim, what are you thinking?
He's, you know what, Suter, I know the backlash against him. I mean, his game is kind of understated. Like, he does win most board battles and puck battles and stuff. I mean, he's nothing to crow about on the power play. You know, he doesn't have much of a shot or whatever. But I think he's still a pretty solid defenseman. I mean, you still got to roll him out there.
Kenny?
I would like to just see his numbers, like his play time, get squashed a little bit from where it's at. You know, and maybe, I don't know if it'll send a message to him, but, you know, maybe lowering his play time would actually increase his playing ability.
Yeah, there's probably stats that back that up.
I'm sure there are. Yeah.
Hey, he was, didn't he set the record this year, most points for Wild defensemen?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, that's true.
Very understated. defenseman.
But how much of that was just him being stuck on the power play when he didn't belong, really belong in there?
Garnering second assists off of nothing.
Right.
He touched him last. You touched it. You picked it up.
Derek, what are you thinking?
Actually, just to add to that point, I think if you look at his points, about half his points are second assists. But anyways, I think he's untouchable, unfortunately. I would agree 100% with Kenny that I think that is, I would really welcome his ice time being reduced, especially on the power play. And what I really hope for is that that translates to more urgency and a little more hustle when he's out there. He tends to spend a lot of time conserving energy, and there's nothing that drives people nuts more than watching him glide back into his own end for a puck, and then, you know, where he had a lot of time, suddenly he has a guy right on him. Well, it's because he didn't hustle. You know, he had all the room he needed, but he uses it all up by conserving energy, and I'd like to see him pick it up a bit more than a little bit, quite a bit, actually.
Teresa, what are you thinking?
However, with the way Dumba's playing right now, can we really afford to reduce Suter's ice time? I mean, that's the concern I have, because Dumba's look like pure rubbish lately.
Well, has Dumba played the last two games?
Oh, well, somebody's out there wearing 24.
At least one of those games.
At least one of those games.
So next question is Derek. So, Derek, why don't you lay out this question here?
Okay. I've tweeted, if the Minnesota Wild were a disappointing movie in their last five games, what would it be? Nothing but trouble, perhaps?
So Derek, we weren't going to put this in because, you know, you're on the show tonight. So it's like, why are we having a Twitter talk question? Except for this one actually, you know, tugged at my heartstrings.
Tugged at his heartstrings.
Because Nothing But Trouble...
He's weeping openly.
...is one movie that Aaron and I tend to... Or at least I bring up to Aaron, like, at least, what, four times a year?
Probably,
that yeah. I can never remember the damn name of. And the fact that you happen to put that movie in there is kind of hilarious. Yeah.
If Kenny ever gets a tattoo, it'll be a Nothing But Trouble tattoo.
It'll be a Little Bobo or Little Debo and... Bobo, or what was it?
Don't ask me.
I'm asking. I'm looking at Derek right now. I'm asking Derek.
I have no idea. I've never seen the movie.
You can't see him looking at you, Derek?
No, I can't. Thank God.
Nope. Well, I've got an answer for this. I'm going to say Weekend at Bernie's 2.
Because it was worse than the first one?
Propping up a dead body.
Exactly.
They did that in the first one, too.
Yeah, but the first one, you didn't really know what was going to happen other than the dead body part. And now it's like you already know he's dead, and then they got a voodoo priest who's like making him dance, and it's just bad. It, just like The Wild.
Well, what about Mighty Ducks? What's Mighty Ducks 3 where they all go M3? To the Olympics?
Is it M3? Wasn't it called that?
Yeah.
Might have been.
Is that where they're all in the Olympics or the World Juniors or player or whatever?
Weren't they in some private school, but it was showing like the gate over at St. Catharines?
Yeah, it could have been.
I think that's what it was.
They're actually at an all-girls school.
So is this all the Wild players just making it to the World Cup instead? Yeah. Anyways, jive.
Yeah.
Dig me out of this hole.
Dig you out of this hole.
Mouth.
The last five games here might kind of go back to something like the Wizard of Oz. You know, maybe the Wild can just take those last five games and click their little red ruby slippers, click them together, and. Poof, you know, we're going to put our big old house down on that big bad witch, the Dallas Stars, and we're going to power right on, right?
I got to better off dead, you know, this last week has been terrible. But then if I can, I guess this isn't a movie, but I can just, a pop song, I'm holding out for a hero.
Wait, that was from Footloose. Was Footloose, wasn't it?
Was it Footloose or Top Gun?
No, that was Footloose. where he's dancing by himself up in the rafters in the building.
Yeah, I don't think that was in Top Gun.
No. It was 80s, wasn't it?
Footloose.
It's Footloose.
I mean,
Google says Footloose.
Like 80% of 80s movies, people are dancing up in the barn.
At least anything that won awards, right?
Yeah.
Let's go dance in a barn.
That'll make everything better.
With another guy. Remember, he was just with his buddy, and they were doing like weird gymnastic stuff in the barn together?
Yikes, that's a different movie.
So, then we got upcoming Wild Week, right?
Oh, you don't want to hear my movie?
Oh, shoot. Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah,
Teresa, what's your movie?
I'm going to go Mystery Science Theater. I'm going to go with Pod People or Monster a Go Go.
Monster a Go Go.
You don't want to watch.
It's a train wreck.
I have not watched enough Mystery Science Theater.
Are there any that are a dumpster fire?
or maybe the fictional movie from Idiocracy, Ass.
How about isn't there a movie, you know, we made the playoffs, like, let's forget the negativity. Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken.
Miracle.
Nailed that.
What was it, Rosie Perez and...
Cousin Vinny?
No.
White Man Can't Jump?
No.
The one that was shot in...
It was here.
Yeah.
Untamed Heart?
There we go. Him talking about the wild heart and stuff like that made me think about that one. Yeah.
Feeling Minnesota?
Ooh.
Or our Is podcast, Grumpy Old Men.
Grumpy Old Men. Fargo?
Yeah, hey. I put that one in the wood chipper.
We're putting the wood chipper.
All rats.
Dale and Tucker's. Have you seen that one? Yes. Just kind of don't know what's happening.
I guess my movie is Slapshot 2. It was called Slapshot, but it's not worth watching.
I was going to say, because nobody ever watched it, or what?
Oh, I've watched it. It's terrible.
Oh, man.
It is so terrible. Bad.
Wait, didn't the third one have one of the Baldwins in it?
It did. <yeah.
laughs> No, the second one did.
There was a third one?
The second one did.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, the second one. The third one had...
The third one had a Baldwin in it, too, didn't it?
No, the third one was the Hansen Brothers... Like basically, it was like a redo of Mighty Ducks. The Hansen brothers caught like a little kids' team or something like that, and coached them. Oh, that's what I heard. Boy. The third one was, I don't know. That was lucky. It made straight to video. It should have made like straight to like YouTube
dumpster site fire.
Yep.
You notice how things nowadays though, everything goes straight to video. It's like a month after it's out of the theaters. It's
goon
out there and available. Goon was a good one. I appreciated that.
I think we've all got our things in, so let's talk about the week ahead. So, upcoming week, we've got, obviously, Wild at Stars on Thursday. And I don't know if they have... I've been trying to check the schedule, but I haven't seen when the second game will be. If that'll be Saturday or Sunday, I'm guessing it's going to be one of the two. Seem fair, about right, I guess.
Yeah. We'll probably play two in the week ahead.
Right.
Depends when they don't want to put us on the television.
8:30.
Right.
Yep.
As long as we don't have to suffer through Pierre, that's all I'm asking for here. So game of the week. I'm choosing Wild at Stars for game one. Let's start with Derek, since you've already laid out what this is going to look like here. So,
I'm going to say the Wild lose 5-1.
Oof. Teresa, wow. Teresa, what are you thinking?
That's harsh, man.
Well, he doesn't have to watch the game. He's going to be coaching tennis. I have to sit and watch the damn thing and write the report. So it's going to be ugly. Klingberg's going to get a Hattie, and I'm going to say 4-1.
Tim, what are you thinking?
You know what? Just to stem the negativity here, Wild sneaking out 2-1. Set the tone.
Kenny, what are you thinking?
I don't. You know, they've always had issues winning in Dallas, and I don't see this being any different. I'm going with like a 3-1 Dallas win.
Jive, what are you thinking?
So much negativity in the room. I'm going to have to go with the Wild, actually pulling the first one out here on the road.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's and where they like to play.
I would have agreed with a 2-1 score like what Tim was offering up there. But just to make it a little bit different, I'm going to go with 3-1. Because I think that the Wild are actually going to get an empty netter close to the end there. Because as long as we don't go into OT, we're good.
Well, there's no 3-on-3, so we're safe anyway.
That's true.
I think this will be the one of the Wild's wins, and that they're going to win, and they're going to get our hopes up. and so I'm going to pick the Wild winning 3-2.
So we're split 3-3.
At least for first game.
For first game.
So, you know, there you have it. Game of the week. Derek, it was great having you on the show. You know, where can people find your work?
They can find it at stateofhockeynews.com.
How's that pronounced?
Well, that's actually spelled, the O is actually there, so it actually is
stateofhockeynews.com. Oh, that one actually is. Okay, sorry.
.com.
Sorry for the interruption.
Yeah.
But on Twitter.
On Twitter, it's stateofhockey.
There we
news,
go.
stateofhockeyof. Wait, yeah.
MOUSE.
Thank you.
Try that one again.
No, I won't.
No, I won't.
And Teresa, where can people find you?
Also at the website stateofhockeynews.com and on Twitter Minnesota24, so MNSOTA24.
And Tim, aside from making us want to drink Summit during every Wild game, where can people find what you're up to?
My habitat on Twitter, it can be found at Tim Nato, prefix Tim, suffix Nato as in tornado. be wary of the multitude of imposter accounts, the Tom Natos, the Tim's Natos.
Yeah. Sharknado.
Yeah. They're always trying to steal my thunder, but Tim Nato.
They can steal your thunder, but not your Nato.
That's my
or
Nato.
His beer.
Or his beer.
Oh, boy. Kenny, you do some tweeting, right?
I do. You know, I do some tweeting, a lot of audio geek stuff, but you can basically, if you go to about.me/IamKenny, that is K-E-N-N-E-Y, it's got links to my Twitter and Instagram pages. And yeah, I try to tell the future as Nostra Kennius.
All right. Jive, where are you at?
Likewise, you can find out things about me and link up with me. I'm at about.me/HeyJive.
And as for myself, you can find links to everything that I'm doing at about.me/TheAaron. Thanks, everyone, for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at 3inthebox. If you got questions for us, send us to those tweets and hashtag 3ITB. We'll probably read them on the show. You can listen to our podcasts on our website, 3inthebox.com, or through your favorite podcast player. That's it for this week's episode.
That is a good 100.
Good 100.
100. Yay! Woo!